तुम्हि सर्वेश्वरेश्वरा ब्रजेन्द्रनन्द कुमारा,
तुम्हि सर्वेश्वरेश्वरा ब्रजेन्द्र कुमारा।
तुमार इच्छाय विश्वे सृजन संहार,
तुमार इच्छाय विश्वे सृजन संहार,
तव इच्छा मते ब्रह्मा कोरेन सृजन,
तव इच्छा मतो ब्रह्मा कोरेन सृजन,
तव इच्छा मतो विष्णु कोरेन पालन,
तव इच्छा मतो विष्णु कोरेन पालन,
तव इच्छा मते शिव कोरेन संहार,
तव इच्छा मते शिव कोरेन संहार,
तव इच्छा मते माया श्रीजे करगार,
तव इच्छा मते माया श्रीजे करगार,
इच्छा मते जीवे जनम मरण,
तव इच्छा मते जीवे जनम मरण,
समृद्धि निपटे दुख सुख संघटना,
समृति निपाते दुख सुख संघटना,
मिछे माया बद्ध जीवा आशा पाशे फिरे,
मिछे माया बद्ध जीवा आशा पाशे फिरे,
तव इच्छा बिना किछु करिते ना पारे,
तव इच्छा बिना किछु करिते ना पारे,
तुम्हि तो रखक आरा पालक आमारा,
मैं तो रखक आरा पालक आमारा,
तुमार चरण बिना आशा नहीं आरा,
तुमार चरण बिना आशा नहीं आरा,
नीच बल चेष्टा प्रति भरसा छाड़िया,
विधवर चेष्टा प्रति भरसा छाड़िया
तुमार इच्छाया आछी निर्भर करिया
हमारा ये छाया आछी निर्भर करिया
भक्ति विनोदती दीन अकिंचन
भक्ति विनोदती दीन अकिंचन
तुमार इच्छाया ता जीवन मरण
तुमार इच्छाया तार
जीवन मरण
हरे कृष्ण
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम 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 हरे हरे
हरे कृष्णा कृष्ण कृष्णा हरे 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 राम 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 जय प्रभुपादा
जय प्रभुपादा शिव प्रभुपादा जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय भक्त वृंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय भक्तवृंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरभक्त वृंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरभक्त वृंद
जय जय श्री चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
चैतन्य जय नित्यानंद
जय द्वैत चंद्र जय गौरा భక్త వృంద
జయ అద్వైత చంద్ర జయ
పావన హరినామ సంకీర్తన కి
జయ
అనంతకోటి వైష్ణవ బృందకి
జయ
శ్రీల ప్రభుపాదకి
జయ
హరే కృష్ణ. ఓం అజ్ఞానతిమిరాంధస్య జ్ఞానాంజనశలాకయ చక్షుఃవన్మీలితం యేన తస్మై శ్రీగురవే నమః. నమావోం విష్ణుపాదాయ కృష్ణప్రేష్ఠాయ భూతలే శ్రీమతే భక్తివేదాంతస్వామినితి నామినే. నమస్తే సారస్వతే దేవే గౌరవాణీ ప్రచారిణే నిర్విశేషశూన్యవాదీ పాశ్చాత్యదేశధారిణే వాంఛాకల్పతరుభ్యశ్చ కృపాసింధుభ్య ఏవ చ పతితానాం పావనేభ్యో వైష్ణవేభ్యో నమో నమః. జయ శ్రీ కృష్ణ చైతన్య ప్రభు నిత్యానంద శ్రీ అద్వైత గదాధర శ్రీవాసాది గౌర భక్త వృంద హరే కృష్ణ 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 హరే 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 రామ 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 హరే 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 కృష్ణ. వెల్కమ్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ యూ ఫర్ ద చైతన్య చరితామృత మధ్య లీలా 9 చాప్టర్ లార్డ్ చైతన్య మహాప్రభు ట్రావెలింగ్ టు మెనీ హోలీ ప్లేసెస్. సో వీ హ్యావ్ బీన్ కవరింగ్ అప్ టు 46 వర్సెస్ ఇన్ ద ప్రీవియస్ క్లాస్. నౌ వీ విల్ ప్రొసీడ్ ఫర్దర్. సో వాట్ ఆర్ ద మోస్ట్ ప్రామినెంట్ థింగ్స్ వీ లెర్న్ టుడే ఇన్ అ ఫ్యూ రీక్యాప్ పాయింట్స్. మహాప్రభు ట్రావెల్ టు సౌత్ ఇండియా. వై? Because he wanted to make the holy places more holy. He wanted to make the Tirthas into Mahatirthas. Because in those Tirthas were living, you know, pious people, but Mahaprabhu made them all Krishna's devotees. And they all started chanting the holy names of Krishna, and they all became Mahatirtha. That was one of the purposes. Another purpose was, he wanted to defeat all the various philosophies like crocodiles in the and all the people of South India are compared to the elephants who are caught by the crocodiles of these various philosophies like Buddhists, Jains, Mayavadis, and like the atheists, and also this Jaiminis, Karma Mimamsa philosophy, and all that. Tarkikas, Mimamsakas, Mayavadis, Sankhyas, Patanjalis, and Smritis. All these different followers of Tantra Shastra, all of them. So Mahaprabhu wanted actually to smash all these philosophies and establish pure Vaishnava Siddhanta by proper philosophical understanding, and then save the people and make them all chant the holy name. That was the idea, and he did it successfully. That's one of the purposes for which Mahaprabhu traveled. So, and in our talk yesterday, we went to various, we discussed various places, Gautami Ganga, Trimanda, Dundiram Tirtha, Dundirama Tirtha, Mallikarjuna Tirtha is actually Sri Shaila, place of Govinda, who is Ramaraja's brother, and Ahovala Narasimha, and then Mahaprabhu went to a place called Siddhavata, where he met one Ram, Bhakta. That's a very sweet pastime. So from Ahovala Narasimha he went to Siddhavata. Night he stayed, and then Brahmana associated with Mahaprabhu and developed a great affection for Mahaprabhu as well as chanting of Krishna name, although he was a chanter of Ramanama. So now Mahaprabhu again wanted to show him mercy. So from Siddhavati he went ahead to Skanda Kshetra, temple of Skanda, then Trimatha, where he saw the Trivikrama Vishnu deity. And again he came to Siddhavata second time. So this time the Lord showed to Brahmana mercy again, but the Brahmana had something interesting to say. He said, You know, ever since I saw you and started chanting Krishna name, the Krishna name practically got stuck in my tongue. I am unable to be relieved from it. And, you know, I have stopped chanting Ram Naam. Now I am chanting Krishna Naam continuously. And then he said, right from childhood, I am used to chanting Ram Naam. And I was worshipping Sitaram deities also. But now after seeing you, my heart is inspired to chant Krishna's names. And then he quoted from the Puranas, you know, very nice too. Couple of quotes he gave. One from Vishnu Sahasranama, Sri Rama Rama Rame Tirame Rama Manarame. Another one, Sahasranamna Punyanam Tri Ravratyatu Yatphalam. That is from the Brahmanda Puran. So this couple of quotes about the glory of Krishna Nam. How three times chanting Vishnu Sahasranama is equal to one name of Krishna. Or three names of Rama and all that. So, in this way, he glorified the holy name and then fell at the feet of Mahaprabhu saying that you are the Krishna who has come to my place. And by your darshan and by your inspiration, now I am elevated to Krishna Bhakti. One point I forgot to say in this. See, he was a Rama Bhakta, which means he must have been Aishwarya Bhakta, in Aishwarya Bhava. But now he has been given promotion to Madhurya Bhakti. Correct, no? By Mahaprabhu's spiritual influence. That's another thing we have to note here. So, that was one interesting section yesterday we read. Brahmana of Siddhavata, Brahman. So, then the next section we read about Lord Chaitanya. That's what is coming now. We are going to go through that now. Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeating various philosophies and establishing bhakti. In that, the list of who all he defeated is given. And then now we are starting today with 47. About Lord Chaitanya defeating the Buddhists. Let's begin from this. Pashandi Ailayata Panditya Shunya.
Pashandi Ailayata Panditya Shunya.
Garvakare Aila Sange Shishaganalaya.
Garvakari Aila Sange Shishaganalaya.
See, when they all heard about Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu having come there, so they all thought that we will go with our disciples and in front of our disciples we will defeat Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and get applause from the disciples. That was with which they all came. It is said here. See, they came with great pride like that to when they heard of the erudition of Mahaprabhu. Bodhacharya Mahapandita Nija Navamate.
Bodhacharya Mahapandita Nija Navamate.
Prabhura Age Udgraha Karila Gila Balite.
Prabhura Age Udgraha Karila Gila Balite. One of them was a leader of the Buddhist cult and was a very learned scholar. To establish the nine philosophical conclusions of Buddhism, he came before the Lord and began to speak.
Yadyapi, now all those points will be coming now. So we will discuss as we proceed. Yadyapi asambhashya bauddha ayukte dekhite.
Yadyapi asambhashya bauddha ayukte dekhite.
Tathapi balila prabhu garvakhandaite.
Tathapi balila prabhu garvakhandaite. Although the Buddhists are unfit for discussion and should not be seen by Vaishnavas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu spoke to them just to decrease their false pride.
See, two very important things are said here. When we meet deities, we should not enter into any argument or discussion with them. And we should not even look at their face. There is one shloka in the Puranas. It is even sinful to look at the face of an atheist who does not accept the authority of Supreme Lord Vishnu. It is said, as soon as you see atheists, you turn your face and go away. Because they are extreme sinners due to which they are unable to recognize the Supreme Lord. So, you should not even see them. What to speak of sitting with them and entering into a debate and argument with them. But here you find Mahaprabhu is talking to them. And what was the reason? To decrease their false pride. It is mentioned here. So Mahaprabhu wanted to show them that your atheism has no basis at all. It is simply a bluff, a big bluff. He wanted to show them. So even in that verse, Ishvare tadadineshu balisheshu dvishachcha prema maitri krivopeksha yakkaroti samadhyamaha. A madhyama bhakta, what you should do? You should understand Krishna is the object of my love and devotees are all my friends. very lovable friends, and then those who are innocent and non-blasphemous, I should preach to them. And those who are envious of Krishna, I should keep a long distance from them. And from a distance I can pray for them. Correct, no? Those are the principles Madhyamadhikaris follow, and we try to follow them. But so why we follow that? Because we enter into atheistic arguments, time is wasted, and also we have to hear a lot of blasphemy against the Lord. That will actually pollute our consciousness. We may get degraded also in our Shraddha, faith in the Lord. And getting a heated argument will bring out our passion, anger and everything, due to which we lose the sublime Vaishnava qualities by that, by fighting with them. And the janta also, public who are watching us, they may think that we people are not sound in our, spiritual position, so we are getting heated up and angry. They will misunderstand us because they don't know either of the philosophies. Those are onlookers, those are watching. And also, associating with such a contaminating person has a long-standing effect even after you leave that person and go away. And also, looking at the face of such a person and hearing him talk, we are taking his association, which will pollute us. So all these reasons are there. So those who are ourselves, I mean, Madhyamadhikari, we have not gone beyond that realization. One should not get into arguments. But Mahaprabhu was not a Madhyamadhikari, he was not even Uttamadhikari, he was Supreme Personality of Godhead. Therefore, he could 7 days hear the Mayavad from Swarupa Bhattacharya. And instead of getting polluted by his philosophy, he defeated him and made him a bhakta. So mighty he was. So here also, Mahaprabhu is talking to Buddhists now. He will make them all Vaishnavas. Tarka pradana bauddha shastra. Tarka pradana bauddha shastra navamate.
Tarka pradana bauddha shastra navamate.
Tarkei khandila prabhu napare sthapite.
Tarkei khandila prabhu napare sthapite.
Yeah.
The scriptures of the Buddhist cult are chiefly based on argument and logic, and they contain 9 chief principles. Because Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated the Buddhists in their argument, they could not establish their cult. Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur states that according to the Buddhist cult, there are 2 ways of understanding philosophy. One is called Hinayana.
Hinayana, Mahayana. Yeah.
Along the Buddhist path, there are 9 principles. First, creation is eternal, therefore there is no need to accept a creator. This cosmic manifestation is false. I am is the truth. There is repetition of birth and death. Lord Buddha is the only source of understanding the truth. The principle of nirvana or annihilation is the ultimate goal. The philosophy of Buddha is the only philosophical path. The Vedas are compiled by human beings. Pious activities, showing mercy to others and so on are advised. No one can...
These are the 9 principles, yeah. Yes.
No one can attain the absolute truth by argument. One may be very expert in logic and another person may be even more expert in the art of argument. Because there is so much word jugglery in logic, one can never come to the real conclusion about the absolute truth by argument. The followers of the Vedic principles understand this. However, it is seen here that Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu defeated the Buddhist philosophy by argument. Those who are preachers in ISKCON will certainly meet many people who believe in intellectual arguments. Most of these people do not believe in the authority of the Vedas. Nevertheless, they accept intellectual speculation and argument. Therefore, the preachers of Krishna consciousness should be prepared to defeat others by argument, just as Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu did. In this verse, it is clearly said, Tarkai Khandila Prabhu. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu put forward such a strong argument that the Buddhists could not counter him to establish their cult. Their first principle is that the creation has always existed, but if this were the case, there could be no theory of annihilation. The Buddhists maintain that annihilation or dissolution is the highest truth.
If the creation, see, there are 3 things, CMD, creation, maintenance, destruction. Again, there is creation, maintenance, destruction. Where there is destruction, there also has to be creation. So they are saying first principle is creation has always existed, they are saying. Then they are also saying that the annihilation is the highest principle. Then how is both possible? That means if without creation, how can there be annihilation? That's the question, yeah, yes.
If the creation eternally exists, there is no question of dissolution or annihilation. This argument is not very strong because by practical experience we see that material things have a beginning, a middle and an end. The ultimate aim of the Buddhist philosophy is to dissolve the body. This is proposed because the body has a beginning. Similarly, the entire cosmic manifestation is a gigantic body. But if we accept that it always exists, there can be no question of annihilation. Therefore, the attempt to annihilate everything in order to attain zero is an absurdity. By our own practical experience, we have to accept the beginning of creation, and when we accept the beginning, we must accept a creator. Such a creator must possess an all-pervasive body, as pointed out in Bhagavad Gita 13.14.
In science also, in physics, they have already proven that the creation was started at a particular point of time. That is on carbon-nitrogen cycle, with which they have found out that the creation did not exist forever, or it's not eternal. It has been created at a point of time. So because the starting point is singularity, they say, from which everything has come from a expansion mode, so they exactly don't have much detail from where this, the bang has started. That is still object of research, but the point is creation is done. So they call it as a big bang and a big crunch, they call it. They expect that after it expands, then it will be a crunch. So if somebody is asking you from science, you can say that. In the same manner, with logic, Prabhupada is saying, if you say creation, you know, you are talking about annihilation of the body and annihilation of the universe, then there has to be creation. That's the first argument. Second, sarvada panipadam tat sarvatokshi shiro mukham sarvada shrutiman loke sarvam avritya tishtati.
Everywhere are his hands and legs, his eyes, heads and faces, and he has ears everywhere. In this way, the super soul exists pervading everything. The Supreme Person must be present everywhere. His body existed before the creation, otherwise he could not be the creator. If the Supreme Person is a created being, there can be no question of a creator.
The so what I will do, I will show you the arguments. There are a lot of purports are there. So we will go to the arguments in a very smooth manner we have presented. Gaurangpu has presented very nicely. So there you will get all in one place. What is the verse number? Yeah. See, arguments against the Buddhism. You know, creation has always existed. There is no need to accept a creator. What is the argument one for that?
As per Buddhists, annihilation is the highest truth.
Yeah. And then?
If creation is eternal, no dissolution or annihilation.
And if you are saying annihilation, there has to be creation. So their own point is it's self-defeating. Correct, the first and second argument?
Practical experience. Material things have a beginning, middle and an end.
Correct. That also shows that there is annihilation. There is a small term annihilation, bigger annihilation like that, yeah.
Argument 3. Buddhist aim dissolve the body, proposed since body has a beginning. Similarly, entire cosmic manifestation as gigantic body. If it always exists, no annihilation.
Yeah, isn't it? Yeah. And then?
Argument 4. If creation has a beginning, there must be a creator. Creator must possess an all-pervasive body.
Yeah.
His body existed before the creation.
Yes. So, then that's how he established the position of a existence of a creator who exists outside this universe. He has nothing to give and take with this universe. He is unchanging. Universe is not unchanging. Who is unchanging? The creator. Yeah, he is different from the creation. He is unchanging. Like for example, if a farmer, he makes clay. So with the clay he wants to make some, you know, children do in the school and all, with China clay they call it. Correct, no? They make different kinds of items. So now the teacher, somebody is bringing this much of China clay. She is telling all the children, now you all make a gola. Everybody is making a gola out of it. Now again they will mix it all together and make one lump again. Now she will say, now you all make a square. And they all make a square, correct, no? So the teacher is same, the students are same. But what is changing is the China clay. Correct? Now, similarly, the Supreme Lord is same and the Atmas are also same. They are unchanging. But what is changing is the matter. And the matter's manifestation is changing. Sometimes square, sometimes triangle, sometimes circle, sometimes sphere, sometimes cube or whatever. In the same manner, there are 8.4 million species. You know, they are all born, gradually they disintegrate. Again, the body is generated in the metal world, again it is disintegrated. From dust thou art born, from dust thou shalt return, it is said. So in this way, the creation, maintenance, annihilation is happening for whom? For the matter is happening. But the soul and super soul they exist outside the time domain originally in the spiritual world, and that Lord never undergoes change. That's how he established the presence of a creator who is different from his creation. Yeah. Yes.
Fifth, everything is created in this world. A creator who is the supreme spirit and is distinct from matter.
Distinct from matter, I said. Yeah, read below.
Implies that the cosmic manifestation is certainly created at a certain time, and the creator existed before the creation. Therefore, the creator is not a created being.
He is different from the created beings, yeah. Yes, further.
Arguments against Buddhism. This cosmic manifestation is false. Argument 1. Pleasure and pain.
So, this is the second principle. The first principle was the creation existed forever. That is already defeated. Now, the second principle they have is this cosmic manifestation, they call it as false. Yeah. Yes.
Pleasure and the pains of the body may not take them seriously, but they are factual. If the bodily pains and pleasures were false, the creation would be false also. Consequently, no one would take interest in it. Implies that the material creation is not false or imaginary, but it is temporary.
That's a big difference between saying temporary versus calling it as false or imaginary. For example, somebody says this whole creation is imaginary. You pinch him, does he not feel pain? And you tell him, okay, because it's anyway everything is false, don't eat only. Correct, no? They can't avoid eating. They can't avoid. So therefore, Prabhupada used to say, from even our practical experience, everybody knows that the world is existing, I am existing, you are existing, it's undeniable fact. But everything is temporary, that is acceptable. Like the body we have seen, it goes from childhood to boyhood to youth to old age. And then it falls away. So then it mixes with the sand or it is burnt in fire and everything. So in this way, the body was small, it grew bigger and then it turned to ashes. The existence of the body is undeniable fact. Only thing is it is temporary. That means what happens is the pradhan, we say, matter, huge quantity of matter in the most subtlest state, without the differences of the sattva, rajas, tamas at that time. And then mahatattva, prakriti and mahatattva, all these things when they came, and all the senses, everything came, so that is undeniable fact, it is there. And when the atma is present, all these changes are taking place. But to deny that matter only doesn't exist, everything is illusion, brahmam satyam, jagat mithya, like what impersonalists also say. And that philosophy itself is a false philosophy. Actually, why Shankara also said this is false, jagat mithya, there is a reason for it. Because as soon as you accept the existence of the temporary material world, then the transformation of matter has to be accepted. Then the matter is, then the material forms are created, they are maintained, they are annihilated. So in this way, because if you accept matter, there is one problem. The Atma is trapped in matter now. If Atma is Supreme Brahman, God, then how he can be trapped? Correct, no? So if you ask Shankarites, hey, you agree that you are Atma, you are not the body. And now you are trapped in the body, you are trapped by the material body. That means you are not God. Then they will say this matter only doesn't exist. They say by saying that, they say we are Supreme Brahman and the matter doesn't exist. They want to escape from it. But you can't escape because it's a reality that matter exists. That's the point. It's not false or imaginary. Yeah. The third argument. Yeah.
I am is the ultimate truth.
Yes.
Principle of I am excludes the individuality of I and you. No possibility of argument. Buddhist philosophy depends on there must be a you or another person.
Yeah, for example, say, I am hungry. I have to eat the food in my belly. I can't say that, Prabhu, you eat. So he, me, all of us will be satisfied. Is it possible? Why one person eating, others are satisfied amongst us? Correct, no? So therefore, similarly, you are facing headache and fever. You take paracetamol and you lie down, for example. But I don't have a headache. But you can't say that because you are feeling headache and fever, I am also feeling. It's just a bluff. Is it not true? So there is a very clear-cut difference between I and you. What to speak of you and me? Even twins in a home, when the two children born, they look exactly the same. But when they grow up, everybody sees that they have different desires. They have different plans. One says, I want to be engineer. Another one says, I want to be doctor. Totally different desires. Although they're twins, they look alike also. So that means every jiva is individual. And they have individual likes and dislikes. And you can't say that I am you, you are me, everything is one. That is just a bluff. He's saying, yeah, yes.
There is repetition of birth and death. The Buddhist cult also accepts the philosophy of transmigration, but the Buddhists do not properly explain the next birth.
Yeah, correct. Actually, Buddha himself, there is one Jataka Tales book you might have read, where Buddha himself comes in various incarnations and all. So there is also talk about the body. For example, the Buddhists say that this body is right now formed, then dismantled. Again it is formed, again dismantled. But what they say, you have to dismantle this body once and for all completely, and we should not reform it, they say. And how do you reform it, if you ask them? They will say, we are reforming it by our desire, they will say. Our desire is the root cause of all evil. Like that they will say. So now, what are you desiring, and where are you storing the desire? They have no information. Like, we know that it's stored in subtle body, Atma is different, but they have no understanding of Atma's presence only. They think this body is formed, as soon as it is dismantled, because of the desires, it's reformed, they think like that. Therefore, Prabhupada says that they have no clear understanding of the reincarnation principle. Read next. Yeah.
Lord Buddha is the only source of the attainment for the attainment of knowledge. We cannot accept this, for Lord Buddha rejected the principles of Vedic knowledge. If everyone is an authority, interpretation of scriptures and claiming one's philosophy is supreme.
Yeah, if we see Vedic knowledge is breathed out by the Supreme Lord. That's one verse which says in Bhagavad Gita, Karma Brahmodbhavam Vidhi Brahmakshara Samudbhavam. Samudbhavam means it has emanated from the Supreme Lord. Another verse from Bhagavatam. Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam navai vidus rishiho napi deva na siddha mukhya asura manushya kuton vidyat racharanadeha.
He says,
Dharmam tu sakshat bhagavat pranitam. You see, he says that dharma can only be given by Supreme Lord, nobody else. In fact, it says who all cannot give. It says, navai vidu rishiho, rishis cannot give. Na api deva, devatas cannot give. Na siddha mukhya, leader of the siddhas. Asura, needless to talk about asuras, and manushya, ordinary man, nobody can give, it says. Kutonu vidyadara charana, even vidyadara charanas are highly learned in Sanskrit, even they cannot write, he is saying. Then who can give? Lord alone can give. That's the point. So, the Bhagavatam says, Lord alone gave the Vedas. Bhagavad Gita says, Lord gave the Vedas. But because Buddha rejected the Vedas, then Buddha says, whatever I am saying, you accept. Then any Tom, Dick and Harry can come tomorrow and say, okay, Buddha rejected Vedas and gave his thing. So now I will give whose thing? My thing. You give your thing, he gives his thing. There is no benchmark or common denominator for arguing. Correct, no? And this is the reason why in the modern times, people, yathomat, tathopat means, you follow any path, ultimately you get to the same thing. This kind of wrong philosophy, people bring. Different organizations are presenting so many things without reference to Vedas. And it's all just unacceptable bluff actually. So therefore you will see in Srila Prabhupada's books, every two or three pages you will find a shloka there from Gita Bhagavatam. So this is called as Avaroha Panth, which means descending from Krishna, Brahma, Narada, Vyasa like that. Avaroha Panth means what? I speculate about the truth, which many organization founders are doing. We have seen that. And that is unacceptable, because then everybody will bluff on their own way. I see the truth in this way, and you see it in that way, and everybody is saying their own thing. Foolish. Next.
Annihilation or Nirvana is the ultimate goal. Annihilation of body and transmigration of soul. Otherwise, how there could be so many multifarious bodies? If all material bodies are doomed to annihilation, we must obtain a non-material body or a spiritual body if we wish the next birth to be anything but false.
Yeah. See, they are saying that annihilation of Nirvana is the ultimate goal. Okay. You annihilate the body. And if you have no information about the soul, you have a no soul. Actually, Buddha never said no soul doctrine. Therefore, it's called Anatmavad, we say. No? I will just show you from one place. Just one. Yeah, read it.
Buddhism arose in India 2500 years ago as a reaction to a fanatical priestly class, Brahminism, who saw in Vedic texts an exhortation to animal sacrifice. The path
of two reasons, sir. One reason is the priestly class of people, Brahmanas, they were leading the whole country, India, at that time. And they were committing one big blunder, which is animal sacrifices. Where in the animal sacrifice, they were killing animals and eating. At that time, actually, Brahmanas are not supposed to eat the animal meat. But when they were misusing on one hand and still holding authority on the other hand. So one new group of people came, which is the Buddhism, and they overthrew the authority of the Brahmanas. And then the janta people are asking Buddha that, okay, we don't want to follow Brahmanas, but what about the Vedas? They only teach us. He said, no, reject the Vedas along with Brahmanas also. So throw the baby with the bath water. You say, no, like that. Both he rejected. So he rejected the Vedas also, rejected Brahmanas also along with that. Then started the Buddhism, which had only the main thing is Ahimsa, Paramodharma. Came to Buddhism, in fact came to emphasize the teachings of rebirth according to early Buddhist thinkers. So it goes on like this. I will just show you one thing. See here, unfortunately, read this.
Unfortunately, there is debate and confusion about what the Buddha himself actually taught regarding the soul and reincarnation. The idea of rebirth is implicit in Buddhism. The enlightened state, Buddhi, say the Buddhists cannot be achieved in one lifetime but takes many thousands of years. From Buddhism's inception, it acknowledged the existence of the soul and the process of rebirth, even though detractors wrongly accused the Buddha of teaching otherwise. The
Theravad,
no soul doctrine. One school of thought has it that early Buddhists, reacting to Hindu orthodoxy, concocted the no soul doctrine, hoping to establish Buddhism as a tradition theologically distinct from Hinduism.
Whatever they said, Hindus say the Brahmanas are the authority. They will say, no, we are not the authority for us. Brahmana, and then the Hinduism says Vedas are the basis for all truth. No, we will not accept the Vedas. And they say, in this world, everything is temporary. Soul is the only truth. Soul is existing. So, no, we don't accept the soul also. That is how the no soul doctrine came amongst the Buddhists. But you see what Buddha himself says. Here you will see, I have given a quote here, I'll show you. I will show you one Buddha's quote. See what Dalai Lama says here, read it.
When the Dalai Lama, the preeminent representative of Tibetan Buddhism, visited the United States in 1981, he said, according to the Theravada school of thought, when a person reaches nirvana, then there is no more person. He completely disappears. But according to the higher school of thought, the person still remains. The being itself still remains.
See what he says. In that also there are two categories of people. Those people are more advanced and understand that the soul still remains. Even after attaining nirvana, his existence is not annihilated. Correct, no? Yeah. See, Mahayana tradition is found in Tibet, China, Japan, Korea, everywhere. You know, it is more sympathetic to reincarnation. Yeah, they accept very freely Mahayana. And then you see, Tibet was originally known as Tibauta. Ti in Chinese means deity. Deity is called Ti. Last T-Y. Deity, that's called Ti. And then Bauta means Sanskrit name Buddha. That means, when you say Tibet means, it's a deity form of Buddha, that's the meaning. So Tibet is known as the land of wisdom deity, of incarnations of wisdom. Therefore, the deity of Buddha is worshipped there. It's not that they are against deity worship. So in this Your Secret Journey book, it is in the chapter 5, it's available. All these different religions are given here. Only it will take time to go through all this about Buddhism. If you have, I have given Judaism also, Buddhism, Judaism, Christianity, Islam, everything is given in this. So, maybe we can attach this chapter, I think. They can read leisurely. Yeah. Read the one below. If all the material bodies.
If all material bodies are doomed to annihilation, we must obtain a non-material body or a spiritual body if we wish the next birth to be anything but false.
Ah, correct. And then
7.
Point, yeah.
Buddhist philosophy is the only way. So many defects in Buddhist philosophy. A perfect philosophy is one that has no defects, and that is Vedanta philosophy.
In the six systems of philosophy also, the only perfect philosophy is Vedanta philosophy by Veda Vyasa. All other philosophies have flaws because they are all man-made, and those flaws are all very thoroughly indicated by Mahaprabhu also. You take one philosophy like Mimamsaka, because Mimamsaka philosophy feels that everybody is subject to karma, including the Supreme Lord also. That's why they commit a blunder. Krishna says, Namam karmani limpanti, name karma phalai spriha. Similarly, there is a Vaibhashika philosophy which thinks that matter cannot give rise to life on itself. But if some combination happens, like, you know, you take a bopla, you take a stick and you take a string, then it can produce sound. Similarly, it is thinking that a combination of matter can produce life, which is another big flaw. Because life is never generated from matter. Life is actually Atma, which is undying, eternal, immortal person, Atma. So, each philosophy you take, you can show the flaw in it. There is an atheistic Kapila, not the Devuti Putra Kapila. The atheistic Kapila philosophy says that, you know, the living forms must have been generated from matter. So, and Prabhupada gives example of the flesh hanging in the neck of a goat. You have seen that? If somebody thinks this is the breast of the goat and you try to get some milk from there, will you get? No milk will come because milk is below, near the feet. Udder is there. You try to get milk here, you will not get. Similarly, from matter, you will be able to produce life, Prabhupada says. Because matter is different, Atma is different. You know, life is different. So in this way, each philosophy can be defeated. It's crazy. Therefore, out of the six systems of philosophy, only one is perfect, which is Vedanta philosophy. Yeah. Read the next one.
8. Vedas are compiled by ordinary human beings. If this were the case, there would be no authoritative. From the Vedic literature.
If you say Vedas are human made, if you say, then you can also make, you are also human, you make one, I make one, he makes one, everybody can make. But the Vedas are called Apaurusheya. Apaurusheya means it's not written by any ordinary human beings. In fact, even today, when you read the Vedic literature, you find it is so deep and grave, no one human being or even a collectively human beings can never come and write something so authentic, so spotless, so flawless. There are hundreds of fields, both material and spiritual, are available in Vedas. And Vedas are oceanic. 1 lakh verses are there. So, any Vedic follower can easily understand that the Vedas have been gifted by the Lord to the world. It is not a man-made thing. Yeah.
From the Vedic literatures, we understand that shortly after the creation of Lord, after the creation, Lord Brahma was instructed in the Vedas. After the creation, the Supreme Person imparted Vedic knowledge within the heart of Brahma.
Tene Brahma Hridaya Adi Kavaye.
There was no person in the beginning of creation other than Brahma, yet he did not compile Vedas. Therefore, the conclusion is that the Vedas were not compiled by any created being.
Yeah. Next argument.
9. Pious activities, showing mercy to others and so on are advised. Argument 1. Mercy, relative thing, to a subordinate or to one who is suffering, not to a superior. Relative activity and not the absolute truth.
Yeah. So we can read this, this purport. It will become more clear. Yeah. Here gives a nice example, Prabhupada gives, you will see here. Read that.
It is stated that mercy is one of the qualities of a Buddhist. But mercy is a relative thing. We show our mercy to a subordinate or to one who is suffering more than ourselves. However, if there is a superior person present, the superior person cannot be object of our mercy. Rather, we are objects for the mercy of the superior person.
It's not that mercy can be applied in the same manner. Say, for example, you have a typhoid. I show you mercy by giving you puri and pakoda and bhaji because I'm giving everybody, so I give you also. Is it mercy? Actually, I am harming you. Correct, no? Yeah. 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 So, showing compassion and mercy is a relative activity. It's not absolute truth. Apart from this, we must also know what actually mercy is to a sick man. To give a sick man something forbidden for him to eat is not mercy. Rather, it is
cruelty.
Yeah, unless we know what mercy really is, we may create an undesirable situation. So, if we wish to show real mercy, we will preach Krishna consciousness in order to relieve the lost consciousness of human beings. That's real mercy. So, since Buddhist philosophy does not admit the existence of spirit soul, the so-called mercy of Buddhists is defective. Like that he says. You got it, no? Yeah.
Argument 2.
Yeah, this we have covered already. Yeah. Bodhacharya Nava Prashna Sabha Uthaila.
Bodhacharya Nava Prashna Sabha Uthaila.
Dridha Yukti Tarke Prabhu Khande Khanda Khanda Kaila.
Dridha Yukti Tarke Prabhu Khanda Khanda Kaila. The teacher of the Buddhist cult set forth the 9 principles, but Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu broke them to pieces with his strong logic.
Darshanika Pandita Sabai Paila Para Parajaya.
Darshanika Pandita Sabai Paila Parajaya.
Loke Hasya Kare Bauddha Paila Lajja Abhaya.
Loke Hasya Kare Bauddha Paila Lajja Abhaya. All mental speculators and learned scholars were defeated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and when the people began to laugh, the Buddhist philosophers felt both shame and fear. The Buddhists, unhappy, began to plot against Lord.
So, sabai paila parajaya. Everybody saw that Buddhists have been thoroughly defeated. All of them were defeated. Everybody who came, all mental speculators, learned scholars, were defeated by Mahaprabhu. And the people began to laugh. The Buddhist philosophers felt both shame and fear. Read this.
These philosophers were all atheists, for they did not believe in the existence of God. Atheists may be very expert in mental speculation and may be so-called great philosophers, but they can be defeated by a Vaishnava firmly situated in his conviction and God consciousness.
See, many so-called gurus are roaming nowadays. And their followers also make them into some incarnation or God. That is one bogus thing going on. On the other hand, some people even worship Krishna, Rama, Vishnu, or even Shiva, Ganesha, many deities also. But if you go close to them, you will see that they have no understanding of the deity whom they are worshipping. They have no idea of the eternal existence of spiritual world. Many of them have a notion that ultimately there is something impersonal light. You have to attain shanti, you have to attain peace, and you have to go beyond this cycle of birth and death. These kind of ideas people have, very vague ideas, nothing clear. Or some people do it as a piety, doing some bhajan, or doing some yajna, chant and things like that. In Kali Yuga is a very deadly age where everybody is so much in a confused state. So therefore, Mahaprabhu smashed all these wrong philosophies and established pure Vaishnava philosophy. Go ahead.
Following the footsteps of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the preachers engaged in the service of ISKCON should be very expert in putting forward strong arguments and defeating all types of atheists.
See, Prabhupada's instruction for us. Mood and mission is teaching us.
Prabhu ke Vaishnava jani Bauddha ghare gela. Prabhu ke Vaishnava jani Bauddha ghare gela.
Sakala Bauddha mili tabe. Kumantrana kaila.
Sakala Bodha mili tabe kumantrana kaila.
All the Buddhists became angry and envious of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that this fellow has cut our nose in the public. We should not leave him. They wanted to thoroughly insult him. So they made some plot. They hatched a plot against the Lord.
Apavitra anna eka thalite bhariya. Apavitra anna eka thalite bhariya.
Prabhu age nila maha prasad baliya.
Prabhu age nila maha prasad baliya.
So they came and gave a plate to Lord Chaitanya saying that please take Mahaprasad. Like that they gave him. Yeah.
The word apavitra anna refers to food that is unacceptable for a Vaishnava. In other words, a Vaishnava cannot accept any food offered by an avaishnava in the name of Mahaprasadam. This should be a principle for all Vaishnavas. When asked, what is the behavior of a Vaishnava? Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu replied, a Vaishnava must avoid the company of avaishnava, asat. The word asat refers to an avaishnava. that is one who is not a Vaishnava. Asat Sangha Tyaga Ai Vaishnava Achara. A Vaishnava must be very strict in this respect and should not at all cooperate with an Avaishnava. If an Avaishnava offers food in the name of Mahaprasadam, it should not be accepted. Such food cannot be Prasadam because an Avaishnava cannot offer anything to the Lord. Sometimes preachers in the Krishna consciousness movement have to accept food in a home where the householder is an Avaishnava. However, if this food is offered to the deity, it can be taken. Ordinary food cooked by an Avaishnava should not be accepted by a Vaishnava. Even if an Avaishnava cooks food without fault, he cannot offer it to Lord Vishnu. See, and it very, cannot very be accepted as Mahaprasadam.
See, here he is saying, just a few minutes, sometimes here he says. See, again read this.
Sometimes preachers in the Krishna consciousness movement have to accept food in a home where the householder is an Avaishnava. However, if this food is offered to the deity, it can be taken. Ordinary food cooked by an Avaishnava should not be accepted by a Vaishnava.
That means we should not accept without offering, he says. And then he says here, see this.
Even if an Avaishnava cooks food without fault, he cannot offer it to the Lord Vishnu. And it cannot be accepted as Mahaprasadam.
Yeah, I see. Because Avaishnava cooks at home, they just cook it and eat it. They have no understanding of offering it to the Lord first. So, if somebody eats it, then they are going to incur sin, he is saying. So, in fact, even if Avaishnava cooks and tells you, you offer it and take it, still while cooking, what has happened? Some impure mentality has gone in. So, our preachers, when they go in bus party and all, what they do? They go to some home and they want prasad. They will request them, if it's all right with you, we will cook for all six of us plus your family members. And they are very happy. They give the kitchen and they cook. So you make prasad, you make bhoga, offer to Lord, make a first class prasad, you eat prasad, you distribute to the family members and then tell them, next time we come, we will eat from your hands, provided you come to 16 rounds chanting, like that we say. And then next year you go, they are already 16 rounders already. That's what we do. Yeah, really.
Krishna can accept anything offered by his devotee with devotion. An Avaishnava may be a vegetarian and a very clean cook, but because he cannot offer Vishnu the food he cooks, it cannot be accepted as Mahaprasadam. It is better that a Vaishnava abandon such food as untouchable.
See, therefore it is said, Annam Vishtam Jalam Mutram Yad Vishnor Anaiveditam. It is said, if you are a food which is not offered to Vishnu, water is not offered, he says that it is as good as stool and urine, he says. Devotees will not eat it. Henakale Mahakaya Eka Pakshi Aila.
Henakale Mahakaya Eka Pakshi Aila.
Tonte Kariyana Saha Thalilaya Gela.
Tonte Kariyana Saha Thalilaya Gela. When the contaminated food was offered to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, a very large bird appeared on the spot, picked up the plate in its beak and flew away.
Garuda has sent him, I think. Isn't it? Baudhagane upare anna pade amedhya haiya.
Baudhagane upare anna pade amedhya haiya.
Baudhacharya ramathaya thali padila bajiya.
Bodhacharye ramathaya thali padila bajiya. Indeed, the untouchable food fell upon the Buddhists and the large bird dropped the plate on the head of the chief Buddhist teacher. When it fell on his head, it made a big sound.
Like that made a big sound. And amedhya, it is actually non-veg, which they were trying to give. What is amedhya, you see? Untouchable food, see? So, actually, they are also Ahimsa Paramadharma Vala people, but now everything fell on their head, he's saying. Terache padila thali matha kati gela.
Terache padila thali matha kati gela.
It hit on the head and you want to see the picture maybe here, I think we'll see. Here it is there, picture is there. In theme it is there, yeah. Oh, this is the one, yeah, correct. this is the one. You're seeing this one? See, a large bird came and picked up the plate and dropped it. So all the Amedya food fell on all the people, and the plate exactly hit on the forehead of the Guruji, of the Buddhists, and it cut the, you know, the cut on the face. And all the Buddhist disciples were shocked. Terache padila tali mata kati, and that is over. Yeah. Okay. Oh, I think this is another one, I think. Yeah, correct. Yeah. Correct, no? It's all over. This is the one.
हाहाकार करि कांदे सब शिष्य गण
हाहाकार करि कांदे सब शिष्य गण
सब आसी प्रभुपदे लैल शरण
सब आसी प्रभुपदे लैल शरण When the teacher fell unconscious, his Buddhist disciples cried aloud and ran to the lotus feet of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu for shelter.
Tumita Ishwara Sakshat Kshama Aparada.
Tumita Ishwara Sakshat Kshama Aparada.
Jiyao Amara Guru Karaha Prasada.
Jiyao Amara Guru Karaha Prasada. They all prayed to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, addressing him as the Supreme Personality of Godhead himself and saying, Sir, please excuse our offense. Please have mercy upon us and bring our spiritual master back to life.
Prabhu kahe sab kaha Krishna Krishna Hari.
Prabhu kahe sab kaha Krishna Krishna Hari.
Guru karne kaha Krishna nama uchakari.
Guru karne kaha Krishna nama uchakari. The Lord then replied to the Buddhist disciples, You should all chant the names of Krishna and Hari very loudly near the ear of your spiritual master.
So in this way, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu initiated all those disciples by making them chant the holy name. He is gifting the holy name to them. Tuma sabara guru tabe pai be chetana.
Tuma sabara guru tabe pai be chetana.
Sab baudha milikare Krishna sankirtana.
Sab baudha milikare Krishna sankirtana.
Yeah.
By this method, your spiritual master will regain his consciousness. Following Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's advice, all the Buddhist disciples began to chant the holy name of Krishna congregationally.
Guru karne kahe sabe Krishna Ram Hari.
Guru karne kahe sabe Krishna naam Hari.
Chetana paya acharya bale Hari Hari.
Chetana paya acharya bale Hari Hari.
Yeah.
When all the disciples chanted the holy names Krishna, Rama and Hari, the Buddhist teacher regained consciousness and immediately began to chant the holy name of Lord Hari.
Yeah. So here I'll show you the purport. 61, very beautiful purport.
Shri Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur comments that all the Buddhist disciples were actually initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu into the chanting of the holy name of Krishna, and when they chanted, they actually became different persons. At that time, they were not Buddhists or atheists, but Vaishnavas. Consequently, they immediately accepted Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's order.
Yeah.
Their original Krishna consciousness was revived, and they were immediately able to chant Hare Krishna and begin worshipping the Supreme Lord Vishnu. It is a spiritual master who delivers the disciple from the clutches of Maya by initiating him into the chanting of the Hare Krishna Mahamantra. In this way, a sleeping human being can revive his consciousness by chanting Hare Krishna, 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. In other words, the spiritual master awakens the sleeping living entity to his original consciousness so that he can worship Lord Vishnu. This is the purpose of Diksha or initiation. Initiation means receiving the pure knowledge of spiritual consciousness.
Yeah. See, when you go to Mayapur for the, Kartik Yatra or governmental parikrama and all, during Gaur Purnima time, if you are staying there and then in the morning you go to the bathroom, the shower bath doesn't have any jet. You have seen that? The water will come right on your head. That water will come. So you will see, if you are a little drowsy, you just switch on the tap, you know, it will, first thing it will do is to wake you out of your sleep. If you are a little bit still drowsy, that it just wakes you up. That's awake. That's the first thing it does. And the second thing it does is, when the water comes down your body, it cleanses the body of all the sweat, dirt, everything. Cleanses the body. And thirdly, you will experience, while bathing, you will feel a very pleasant sense of shower experience. Correct, no? If you are very joyful. And the same thing with the holy name. You chant Hare Krishna mantra, you chant. First, that just wakes up like Krishna danced on Kaliya. Chanting is very tough, and then it purifies us. So you find that it wakes up the sleeping soul. Jivu jago, jivu jago. And after you wake up, then anartana vritti starts, cleansing. Then once anartana vritti has happened sufficiently, then you feel blissful in chanting. And then chanting, dancing, then there's a relish in chanting. These three steps can be seen. In the same manner, initiation is like that. And then some more things Prabhupada is saying about the Guru. Read it. One point to note.
One point to note in this regard is that the spiritual master of the Buddhists did not initiate his disciples. Rather, his disciples were initiated by Sri Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, and they in turn were able to initiate their so-called spiritual master. This is the parampara system. The so-called spiritual master of the Buddhists was actually in the position of a disciple, and after his disciples were initiated by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu,
They acted as his spiritual masters.
Yeah. This was possible only because the disciples of the Buddhist Acharya received the mercy of Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Unless one is favored by Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in the disciplic succession, one cannot act as a spiritual master. We should take the instructions of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the spiritual master of the whole universe, to understand how one becomes a spiritual master and a disciple.
Adapite deva panambujadvaya प्रसाद लेशानुगृहीत एव हि जानाति तत्त्वं भगवन् महिम्नो न जान्यमे कोऽपि चिरं विचिन्वन् ब्रह्माजी told this wonderful prayer. He is saying that unless a small drop of your mercy from your lotus feet is attained by somebody, it's just impossible for one to understand you. Even Mahaprabhu's mercy came in the life of those Buddhist disciples. They became jubilant. They chanted, in Rama, Krishna, Hari, they chanted the holy name. Then they initiated the Guruji. Which means, like Prabhupada says, that although Guruji was, you know, hit by the plate and he was unconscious, he got up, he also chanted Hari Hari, and in this way initiation of all the people took place, all the Buddhists, they all became Vaishnavas. Krishna Bali Acharya Prabhure Karena Vinaya.
Krishna Bali Acharya Prabhure Karena Vinaya.
Dikhiya Sakala Loka Haila Vismaya.
Dikhiya Sakala Loka Haila Vismaya.
Yeah.
When the spiritual master of the Buddhists began to chant the holy name of Krishna and submitted to Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, all the people who were gathered there were astonished.
Yeah. Hey, Rupe Kautuka Kari Shachiranandana.
Ei rupe kautuka kari sachiranandana
antardhana kailakeha napaya darshana
antardhana kailakeha napaya darshana. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Sachi Devi, then suddenly and playfully disappeared from everyone's sight, and it was impossible for anyone to find him.
Mahaprabhu chali aila tripati trimalle.
Mahaprabhu chali aila tripati trimalle.
Chaturbhuja murti dekhi venkatadriya chale.
Chaturbhuja murti dekhi venkatadriya chale.
Yeah.
Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu next arrived at Tirupati and Tirumala, where he saw a four-handed deity. Then he proceeded towards Venkata Hill.
And then he's talking about Tirupati, Tirupatur or whatever. So he's talking about the details about the Venkateshwara deity is form of Lord Vishnu, situated in Venkata Kshetra. Because many foreign devotees will come to India, so Prabhupada is writing these details so that they may not be aware of who is Balaji, Venkata. Prabhupada is giving all details. You know, Nimna Tirupati is located in the valley of Venkata Hill. Tripati Asiya Kaila Shri Rama Darshana.
Tripati Asiya Kaila Shri Rama Darshana.
Raghunatha Age Kaila Pranamastavana.
Raghunatha Age Kaila Pranamastavana.
Yeah.
After arriving at Tirupati, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Ramachandra. He offered his prayers and obeisances before Ramachandra, the descendant of King Raghu.
Yeah. Swaprabhave loka sabara karaya vismaya.
Swaprabhave loka sabara karaya vismaya.
Pana narsimha aila prabhu dayamaya.
Pana narsimha aila prabhu dayamaya.
Yeah.
Everywhere Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went, his influence astonished everyone. He next arrived at the temple of Pana Narsimha. The Lord is so merciful.
Yeah, very famous temple. One must climb 600 steps to reach the temple, Prabhupada says. And the Lord is offered a drink with the syrup here, and then Lord doesn't take more than half. You know, the sound comes. If you give one bottle of Pana Narsimha, that jaggery juice, he takes only half. As soon as you put it in the mouth, after you feed him half, gadagada sound will come, then the baki is given to you. Even today, many, many people offer like that. Yeah. Okay. And then,
Narsimhe pranati stuti premavesha kaila. Narsimha pranati stuti premavesha kaila.
Prabhura prabhave loka chamatkara haila.
Prabhura prabhave loka chamatkara haila.
Yeah.
In great ecstatic love, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered obeisances and prayers unto Lord Narsimha. The people were astonished to see Lord Chaitanya's influence.
Vagram viram mahavishnam jalantam sarvato mukham Narsimham bhishanam bhadram mrityor mrityor namamyaham Shri Narasimha jaya Narasimha jaya jaya Narasimha Praladesha jaya padma mukhapadma vrunga. This kind of praise he must have offered. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Shiva Kanchi Asiya Kaila Shiva Darshana.
Shiva Kanchi Asiya Kaila Shiva Darshana.
Prabhave Vaishnava Kaila Sabha Shaiva Gana.
Prabhave Vaishnava Kaila Sabha Shaiva Gana.
Yeah.
Arriving at Shiva Kanchi, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the deity of Lord Shiva. By his influence, he converted all the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas.
And then Shiva Kanchi, there are hundreds of temples containing the linga of Shiva. And one of these temples is very, very old.
Vishnukanchi Asi Dekhila Lakshmi Narayana.
Vishnukanchi Asi Dekhila Lakshmi Narayana.
Pranama Kariya Kaila Bahutastavana.
Pranama Kariya Kaila Bahutastavana.
The Lord then visited a holy place known as Vishnukanchi. There he saw Lakshmi Narayan deities and he offered his respects and many prayers to please them.
Yeah, situated 5 miles away from Kanchipuram. Yeah. Yeah. Apart from Varadaraja, actually in Kanchipuram, Varadaraja is very famous, isn't it? Kanchipurna is a devotee. There is also a big lake known as Ananta Sarovar there. Premaveshe Nritya Gita Bahuta Karila.
Premaveshe Nritya Gita Bahuta Karila.
Ninaduira Hiloke Krishna Bhakta Kaila.
Ninaduira Hiloke Krishna Bhakta Kaila. When Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu stayed at Vishnukanchi for 2 days, he danced and performed kirtan in ecstasy. When all the people saw him, they were converted into devotees of Lord Krishna.
Trimalaya dekhi gela trikala hastisthane.
Trimalaya dekhi gela trikala hastisthane.
Mahadeva dekhi tare karila praname.
Mahadeva dekhi tare karila praname. After visiting Trimalaya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu went to see Trikala Hasti. There he saw Lord Shiva and offered him all respects and obeisances.
So Trikala Hasti or Srikala Hasti is situated about 22 miles east of Tirupati. And then it is located on the southern side of the river. Kala Hasti's famous temple of Lord Shiva is called the Vayulinga Shiva, it's called.
Pakshitirtha Dekhi Kaila Shiva Darshana.
Pakshitirtha Dekhi Kaila Shiva Darshana.
Vridhakola Tirtha Tabe Karila Gamana.
Vridhakola Tirtha Tabe Karila Gamana.
Pakshitirtha is a very famous place. Even today, I have personally seen with my own eyes also. Exactly in the noon time, 2 very big eagles will come. They will come there, sit, and they will feed. Prabhupada will write about that. You will see that. Pakshitirtha Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Shiva. Thus he went to Vidyaloka place. See here, Prabhupada is writing here. 2 birds come there daily, see, to receive food from the temple priest. And it is claimed that they have been coming since time immemorial. It's very, I also saw when I had gone there. They exactly come at the same time every day.
Shvetavaraha Dekhi Tare Namaskari.
Shvetavaraha Dekhi Tare Namaskari.
Pitambara Shivasthane Gela Gaurahari.
Pitambara Shivasthane Gela Gaurahari.
Yeah.
At Vridhakola, Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Shweta Varaha, the white boar incarnation. After offering him respects, the Lord visited the temple of Lord Shiva, wherein the deity is dressed with yellow garments.
Mm-hmm. So the Shweta Varaha boar incarnation, after the Lord went to Shiva temple. Yeah. And then he is saying the temple made of stone. Prabhupada is giving details about the temple. And then he went to Pitambara or Chidambaram, very famous. Tillai Ambala Nataraja, they say there's a Nataraj who is actually Shiva in a dancing posture there. Shiyali Bhairavi Devi Karidarshana.
Shiyali Bhairavi Devi Karidarshana.
Kaveri Ratire Aila Sachiranandana.
Kaveri Ratire Aila Sachiranandana.
Yeah.
After visiting the temple of Shiyali Bhairavi, a form of goddess Durga, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, the son of Mother Sachi, went to the bank of the river Kaveri.
Yeah. That's located in the Tanjore district, about 48 miles northeast of Tanjore city. The Tanjore is just 1 hour from my place. One hour 40 minutes, I think. Less than that, yeah. That's the temple of Shiva there. So Mahaprabhu came very close to the place, Tanjore. Mm-hmm. Tanjore has come. So, yeah, by Ravi. And then he took bath in the Kaveri River, yeah. Go Samaje Shiva Deki Aila Vedavana.
Go Samaje Shiva Deki Aila Vedavana.
Mahadeva Deki Tare Karila Vandana.
Mahadeva Deki Tare Karila Vandana.
Yeah.
The Lord then visited a place known as Go Samaja, where he saw Lord Shiva's temple. He then arrived at Vedavana, where he saw another deity of Lord Shiva and offered him prayers.
So, on the way, Lord of Shiva deity in South India, correct? No? Yeah. Amrita Linga Shiva Deki Vandana Karila.
Amrita Linga Shiva Deki Vandana Karila.
Sabashivalaya Shaiva Vaishnava Haila.
Sabashivalaya Shaiva Vaishnava Haila.
Yeah.
Seeing the Shiva deity named Amrita Linga, Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu offered his obeisances. Thus he visited all the temples of Lord Shiva and converted the devotees of Lord Shiva into Vaishnavas.
Which means two things you find Mahaprabhu doing. He did not reject the demigods. He didn't talk ill of the demigods. He went to those temples, he is a sannyasi, offering obeisance to Shiva, then all the Shiva's followers would have become very touched. Oh Lord, he is accepting. Then he would have given a lecture there on the Kirtan, naturally. And he will tell how Shiva is Vaishnavana, Yata Shambhu, and how so many evidences, so many examples in Shastra, and then make everybody chant and dance to Hare Krishna Mantra. Sabha Vaishnava Haila. <You know? laughs> Yeah. Devasthane Asi Kaila Vishnu Darshana.
Devasthane Asi Kaila Vishnu Darshana.
Sri Vaishnavera Sanghe Taha Goshti Anukshana.
Sri Vaishnavera Sanghe Taha Goshti Anukshana.
Yeah.
At Devasthana, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu visited the temple of Lord Vishnu and there he talked with the Vaishnavas in the disciplic succession of Ramanujacharya. These Vaishnavas are known as Sri Vaishnavas.
And now in a couple of verses I am ending now. Because after that new section starts. Kumbhakarna Kapale Dekhi Sarovara.
Kumbhakarna Kapale Dekhi Sarovara.
Shivakshetre Shiva Dekhe Gauranga Sundara.
Shivakshetre Shiva Dekhe Gauranga Sundara. At Kumbhakarna Kapala, Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu saw a great lake and then the holy place named Shivakshetra where a temple of Lord Shiva is located.
And the Prabhupada is saying 24 miles northeast of Tanjore. And then he went to these places, yeah. Papanashane Vishnu Kaila. Papanashane Vishnu Kaila Darshana.
Papanashane Vishnu Kaila Darshana.
Sri Ranga Kshetre Tabe Karila Gamana.
Sri Ranga Kshetre Tabe Karila Gamana.
Okay.
After visiting the holy place named Shivakshetra, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu arrived at Papanashana and there saw the temple of Lord Vishnu. Then he finally reached Sri Ranga Kshetra.
Papanasana is a very, very famous place. Two holy places. Papanasana, one is located 8 miles southwest of Kumbakonam. Yeah. Another one lies near the Tamaraparani River, the district of Trinalveli. Yeah. 20 miles to the west of Trinalveli. Yeah. And then Rangachitra is a famous place near Trichy. And there is a Kaveri River flowing there. Largest temple in India. There are 7 walls, 7 roads. And then we will read about it tomorrow. We will start from this verse. What is the verse number? 79 onwards we will start and we will read this purport and proceed ahead. Because 80 to 165 is the next section. 80 to 165 is Lord Chaitanya Mahaprabhu at Srirangam during Chaturmas. So all the holy place visit is over now here. Now he has come to Srirangam Kshetra. He'll stay there for 4 months now. So therefore I brought it up to this little class, became late today, but we will get into Venkata Bhatta and all those pastimes will come. Shri Prabhupada ki.